Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Paul writes, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy." And then skipping down, "I urge you then be imitators of me." Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. If you can remember that far back, during the Epiphany season, that is during January and February, we read through the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians in our epistle readings. We talked about what the church is, and we talked about how it is united under its single teacher and master and leader, that is Jesus Christ. What brings the church together is the word of the cross, not any human inspiration, and the word of the cross is the wisdom of God. The church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, not on human teachers, and Jesus Christ is the one who will cause the church to grow. And now we're going to do something a little different than we have in the past, where I typically preach on the pericopes, but we are going to deviate from the pericope for the rest of this church year up through November or so, to continue working through 1 Corinthians to learn just what it means to be church. And so we are going to start this today with chapter 4, talking about servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And so, again, our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says that he and the apostles and other leaders in the church are to be regarded as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And so here Paul is specifically and directly talking about the pastoral office, that pastors are directly called by God into the ministry to serve him, and by and so doing to serve the church. It's been said in various places that it takes a special call from God to actually want to go into the ministry. But that is the case. God specifically calls men to be pastors, which is in the same office as that held by Paul, by Timothy, by the apostles, to preach and to administer the sacraments, to serve God by serving his church. The qualifications for this are laid out in 1 Timothy and also in Titus. Paul says that a pastor is to be above reproach, is to be a quote, one-woman man, husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, apt to teach, gentle, not greedy, well thought of by outsiders, all of these different qualifications for a pastor. All of which also, to some extent, apply to the church itself. In our gospel reading today, Jesus actually tells the apostles that why this is so important when he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And then Jesus gives them their office and authority to be his apostles. He called them to him and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. And so Jesus calls the apostles into his ministry, gives them the authority to do this, and that also extends today through the pastoral office, that pastors do not serve themselves, but serve God. And that is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians, is that he is a servant of Christ. And this is where some of the titles that are given to the pastoral office originate. Pastor means a shepherd or one who tends sheep, or also a minister is another word for a servant, one who serves at another's bidding. Even the stole, which a pastor wears, actually originated as a garment worn by Roman servants, showing that they were servants. And so the pastor is a servant of Christ. Pastors are also responsible for, as Paul says, being stewards of the mysteries of God. And mysteries here would be a term specifically for sacraments, the baptism, Lord's Supper, absolution. The pastor is responsible for giving these things on behalf of the church. These sacraments are given by God to the church, and God appoints and the church appoints one man, the pastor, to administer these gifts on behalf of the congregation. And so the pastor is responsible to God as the master for using these gifts properly. Just as any steward or manager is responsible to his master or the owner for how he stewards or manages his property, the pastor also is responsible to his master, God, for how he stewards these gifts. If a store manager isn't making any sales and is allowing all kinds of rampant theft, the owner's probably going to have some harsh words for him, and he's probably not going to have a job anymore. The owner is the one who is responsible. God is the one who is responsible for everything in the church and holds pastors accountable for how they serve him. So this means that the pastor has to take care in how he uses the sacraments. Baptizing and bringing people to know and understand the faith, it is very important for us to show people to give this gift to those who need it. Forgiving the sins of repentant sinners, retaining the sins of the unrepentant, that is one of the responsibilities of the church, which is delegated to the pastor. Distributing the sacrament to those who are prepared and who believe with him, all of these are important ways in which the pastor serves God as a servant and steward. But we don't serve alone. It's not just the pastor who is called to serve God. God has actually called everyone to be his servants in a number of different areas. It's quite tempting, especially in our very professionalized society, to leave everything to the professionals. If you see an ant, you call an exterminator. If you have a plumbing problem, you try to fix it yourself, you flood the basement, and then you call a plumber. If you're talking about serving God, best call the professional, the one who's been called by God to do it. And I, as a pastor, do have a certificate saying that I've been called by God and by this congregation. The two certificates on the wall of my office, my ordination and call certificates. But you have those as well. Those aren't the only certificates that I have showing I am called to serve God. Growing up, I always had my baptismal certificate hanging framed on my bedroom wall, because that certificate is the one that shows I was called by God to serve him because I am his baptized child. It is in baptism that we are all called by God. We are all made his servants. We are all called to serve him. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, Peter says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. He's not talking to pastors here, calling pastors stewards of God's grace. He is talking to you. He is talking to all people who have been called by God, called out of this world into God's kingdom. All believers, are stewards of God's grace. And so we also, everyone, serves him by everything we do in our regular vocations, whether it's as a friend sharing God's love with your friends and giving them his love and compassion when they need it, whether it is as a parent, especially fathers on this Father's Day, serving your children by providing for them not only physically but spiritually. One of the most important roles and responsibilities of the father is to be stewards of God's grace for your children. Showing your children God's love, showing your children God's discipline, and raising them to know and fear and love and trust God above all things. And so it is so important for all people to serve God in all vocations, whether it be as a friend, as a father, as a brother or sister, even as a congregation member or an employer or an employee. All roles and responsibilities are important in serving God and stewarding the grace that he has given us. I want you to take a look on the back of our bulletin at the Old Testament reading. Here Moses went up to Mount Sinai. The people of Israel just arrived at the Mount of God. And Moses went up to Mount Sinai to converse directly with God, who tells him in verse 5, "If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Wow. You may look at this and think that since God is talking to Moses, he is calling Moses his priest. He is calling Moses holy. And Moses is those things. But that is missing verse 3. In verse 3 here, the Lord called to him and said, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel." It's not Moses that God is talking to. God isn't talking to Moses here. He's talking to all of Israel. Not just Moses as his direct representative, but all the people are his treasured possession. All the people are his kingdom of priests. All the people are his holy nation. And that is who and what you are. God has joined you to his people, making all of us part of the people of Israel, of his chosen people. We are his treasured possession. We are his kingdom of priests. We are his holy nation. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You are God's servants, called by him to serve by imitating Paul and proclaiming God's love and power to those who need to hear it, by serving him in all of the vocations that he has called us to. Next week, we will move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and talk about the difficult topic of church discipline. However, for this week, I want you to leave here remembering that we are all servants of Christ. I, as pastor, am called to be a servant of Christ. You, as the body of Christ, the church, are also called to be servants of Christ, serving him in everything we do, proclaiming his deeds to all people, rejoicing in his gifts, worshiping him together. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.